Good morning. Tuesday. And Glenn and I drove all the way down to Phoenix yesterday and watered the plants. Our grandson is staying there, and he's what, 20, not quite 20 years old. Yeah. Everything looked good. We were concerned about one thing, and that is we couldn't find our cat. And looking all over, and the cat usually greets us on the way in, and he was in a closet. Didn't make that up. I'm hoping he just gotten in there because it's been 3 or 4 days. So he didn't look emaciated, and the closet didn't smell like she'd been living there for a couple days. So.
You don't think your grandson's going to have a party while you're gone? 400 kids?
His aunt lives a couple miles away. And no, we have other family members checking up on him, and no, he's not the type. No, but now that you bring it up, I'm worried about it, Gary. Thank you. Yeah. Long, long, long time ago. Maybe it's camp meeting. I don't know if I shared this before, but I'll share it again. When I started out with camp meeting, this was back in Minnesota. I did youth the whole time I was in camp meeting. And enjoyed it, but after a while, you just kind of age out of youth after a while. I was brand new, and we're taking care of youth, and Minnesota had a bunch of youth. I mean, like 30, 40 kids this year, that year. And so our guy, our youth director had an idea. He meant well, don't get me wrong. But he wanted to teach our kids values. That sounds good, doesn't it? He wanted to teach Christian values, spiritual principles. And one way to get there, we had a food shelf in Minneapolis, and so we were going to send our kids out door to door collecting food for the food shelf. Good plan, right? So we met that morning. I was going to drive the 16-passenger van. And we had a bus that was going to follow us. Well, all the kids got out, and they gave an impassioned speech. Kid with it, man, this guy was on fire. How this is a way to learn values. We're no longer going to entertain you. We are going to get out there, and we are going to make a difference in this community. We need to live out the principles that we have learned. And a rousing yes from all the kids. I'll pile up on the bus. Had a couple in the van with me. I had the guest speaker with me. Good old boy from Georgia. Kind of talked like that. Very easygoing. The most easygoing guy I've ever met in my life. Which in about an hour was going to drive me absolutely crazy. Anyway, we followed the bus. We drove down to the Minnetonka Church, big old church in North Minneapolis. Kids got out of the bus, lined up. Got another impassioned speech from anybody. I got out of the 16-passenger van, and I'm listening to it. They all had these yellow bags. They're going to go out and raise food, door-to-door, knock on food. Have you heard this before? Oh, good, because I'm afraid that I have so few experiences like this one. Anyway, as I am listening to this youth director speak, I watched him get on the bus. And as the bus is pulling away, he's waving and he's saying, "We'll pray for you guys." It didn't occur to him that I'm there with a 16-passenger van. I've got about 35 kids. And the bus, yeah, he said, "Oh, yeah, we're coming back. We're going down and we'll be back later on this afternoon." It didn't even occur to me at the time. Well, the sun was getting on my head, remember? Yeah. All of a sudden, now I'm in the Minnetonka Church parking lot with 35 kids and a bus that seats 16. A logical person would not move. A logical person would find a phone and call and find out what happened to the bus. My guest speaker said, "Well, there's no problem. We'll just put 16 here. They'll go to this street, and then we'll drop them off. They'll come back and get 16 more. Sounds good? 16 kids got on the van, drove out, found a street. First of all, the streets aren't numbered. They'll have names. Okay, one was like Ford Street. So he dropped 16 kids off. He said, okay, scatter, come back. Drove back to the Minnetonka parking lot, picked up 16 more kids. Drove back. Okay, what was the name of that street? Oh, Ford. Okay, Ford. And then we got like a Onawanda Street. Okay, kids, scatter. We'll come back. Got 16 more. Gary, I'm not making this up. Down the next street, which was like Tanawinkwidada. It's Minnesota. They make up names. Yeah, Danish names, okay? Hey, take off. Meanwhile, I'm thinking, wait a minute. Oh, weren't we just at Ford Street? Yeah, we got to pick up 16 more kids, don't we? So we're down to Ford Street. They're all there. You counted 16. Went out to the next street, which is another name, okay? Blessed Heart Street, okay? And then we got, what was the other name? See, you're not helping me. Guy from Georgia wasn't helping me either. Said, spot, this street looks right. Sure enough, 16 kids. We still hadn't had more on the parking lot. Street after street after street, picking up one, remembering where we were, drop the next group off, come back, try to remember that name, pick up 16 more where we were, and we're just going through. And through Minnetonka, which is not like a city. These are all these windy little streets. I'm getting lost. Stress is building up. My guest speaker says, no problem. God's here. I said, yeah, I'm hoping 16 kids are too. And I wish that I could tell you that I was being really calm about this. I'm getting ticked, okay, and scared. Street after street after street, okay. And sure enough, the cool thing was, at least if one seat was empty, I knew we were missing a kid. But after a while, you were even missing that. We did it for like 2 or 3 hours, and finally the kid said, hey, we're hungry. We want to go to Burger King. So I picked the first group up that had been on Ford Street, and now they were on Idlewild Street. Or was it Jersey Shore Street or something? I don't know. Dropped them off at Burger King. Went and got the next group. Dropped them off at Burger King. They all had lunches, by the way. A pile of lunch in the back. Dropped them off. Finally, we had everybody there. They all got their lunch. I opened up the back of the van, and there were two lunches there, staring at me. One didn't have a name on it. The other one had a name, Heather. This was 1990. Every other girl was named Heather. Walked into Burger King. I said, hey, does anybody know Heather? And, you know, sure enough, man, about 20 girls raised their hand. I'm Heather. I said, well, you're not this Heather, are you? Which Heather is this? I said, well, we don't know that Heather. What does she look like? I don't know. She looks like every other. I don't know. It's Heather. Two girls are missing. So I left my laid back, no problem, guest speaker with them at Burger King. And I'm traveling through the windy streets of Minnetonka looking for a girl named Heather and another nameless girl who didn't write her name on her lunch. Over and over, street after street after street. And while I'm driving, I'm thinking, you know what? We started out with 35. This isn't bad, okay? Come on! Under the circumstances, losing two children, we'll get over it. We have 33, okay? I'm thinking, well, maybe I'll say, no, she was never here. Where her lunch was. Yeah, but it's not my fault. I don't think you put her on the bus. At least an hour and a half went by. Meanwhile, I'm thinking, you know, I just left 33 kids who just took over Burger King with their own lunch. So I'm trying to picture what that looks like. Finally, I drove up one street And at the side of on the side of the street, I saw this yellow bag, this empty yellow bag. And I got to thinking, okay, this is what the news report's going to look like tonight. All that's left of these girls is this empty yellow bag. And now I'm really starting to panic, okay? Because now I got one empty bag and two lunches that have not been eaten. One is named Heather. And finally, I looked off, and I saw another gleam of yellow at the end of the street. And then I saw the yellow was kind of moving. And sure enough, there were two girls holding this yellow bag. They had been gathering food for an hour and a half. It got so much that they actually put it in one bag so they both could carry it. I guess they thought we were never coming. They had food for the whole winter, let me tell you. I'm waving and waving. Sure enough, one is named Heather. One was named Joyce or something. Or maybe her name was Heather, too. I don't know. Got in the van. I had 35 kids again, but I still had a 16th passenger van. And I'm thinking, what kind of values have we learned today, folks? What kind of Christian values have we learned? Yes, what kind of values was I modeling for these people? You know, the vein on my neck is out here. Keep that in mind. I'll come back to this for a minute. If you got your Bibles, we're at 1 John. 1 John 7. 1 John 2, verse 7. I'm sorry. There is no 1 John 7. Thank you. Dear friends, John writes, I am not writing you a new command, but an old one, which you have had since the beginning. This old command is the message you have heard. Now, he's not defining it. He's just kind of leaving it open. Yet I'm writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in him and you, because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. And then he hints at what this new command is. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still where? In darkness. Remember, we've been going through light and dark, light and dark, light and dark. He's not defining it, but now he's giving out a hint here. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in the darkness. Whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there is nothing in him to make him stumble. In one of his last conversations before the cross, Jesus started talking about commands. And he said, you will remain in my love if you obey my commands. And it almost sounds like a conditional phrase, and we'll deal with that in a moment. This is the command that I give to you. You ever hear this before? This is the command I give to you. Love each other as I have loved you. This is the command that I give you. Impossible. I give to you, I have now raised the bar. If your act of loving is a positive regard of each other, if you consider love to be something you can generate, if you consider love just being nice to one another, if you consider love something that is an emotion, or something that you can generate, I'm going to raise the bar so high that I hope to confuse you. This is the command. First, he uses the word command. This is the command that I give to you. Love each other the way God has loved you. So, who wants to take that one on? Who's ready to take that on? Dear friends, I'm not writing you a new command, but an old one. Love each other the way I have loved you. As I get older, as I age out of youth, as I age out of young adults, and as I hang out at young adults too, and wondering if I'm aging out there too, I wonder if there's no set of principles, no set of values, Christian or otherwise, that can express the essence of being connected to Christ and express what we call Christianity. I wonder if a life built on Christian values is a caricature a cartoon of New Testament Christianity. I don't think, I don't think that it's God's purpose that our lives should be built on values. I don't think our lives should be built on principles, Christian values that we aspire to. It's built on His Son. Simple as that. Yesterday we talked about this interior experience, the spiritual exchange, the spiritual connection. That only an intimate relationship with Him produces a godly lifestyle. Not being in Christ is where we fall. The definitive question that a believer should ask is not whether this is right or wrong. We ask that too much. People ask me sometimes, Pastor, is it okay if? Or, Pastor, is it, I'm sure, Gary, you get that, is it all right if? I almost, because I ask the same question. It's like, well, how low can I raise the bar and still be okay? Is it okay if? Wrong question. One simple question. Because the moment that we get to go down that road, is it okay if? And then we get into ethics, and then we get into these long Sabbath after discussions that really, all they do is wear us out. You wonder why we take naps on Sabbath afternoon. Usually it starts with the question, is it okay if? Wears me out. Simple question. Am I in Christ at this moment? Am I in Christ? Truth is, people who don't know grace, people who don't know God, that we ask the same question. Is it right or wrong to do this? Is it right or wrong not to do this? A Christian's lifestyle flows from the activity of Christ. Dear friends, I'm not writing you a new command, but an old one. Even people who don't know God, even people who are outside of grace, would love to live their life according to the Ten Commandments. I am so sick of people trying to get Ten Commandments written on this poster, that poster, this poster. It's a caricature. Is it right to do this? Is it wrong to do this? If I'm doing this right, or am I getting better? The moment that you try to live your life against principles, it's like you've got 35 things you're fitting on a 16-passenger bus. And we wonder why we're stressed. A long time ago, I learned that the worst thing we can do is write 10 commandments anywhere, because we're missing the whole nexus of that chapter, the nexus of that story. The Ten Commandments do, now I think I've said this before, but I have to remind myself at least every couple of years. The Ten Commandments do not begin with thou shalt. The Ten Commandments begin with I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt. And one of the few things I took from seminary, and I never checked it because this guy said it with such authority. He said, you know what follows after the thou shalt? He said, we use that as commandment language. He said, it's not commandment language. Thou shalt not. He said, it's descriptive language. Gary, did you ever hear this? John Baldwin. I don't doubt John Baldwin. Maybe it's such good news I'm afraid to. But he said, you know, if you look at the Hebrew structure, which I am very unfamiliar with, so you're just going to have to take this by faith, on how this is written. Thou shalt is a description that connects it to I am the Lord your God. That if you read this, the way it's written, it says that if I am the Lord your God or brought you out of Egypt, this is a description of this is what you'll look like. If I'm truly the Lord your God, guess what? You won't have any gods before me. You won't take my name in vain. You'll spend time. You will keep Sabbath because it's a joy. You won't kill. You won't steal. It almost sounds Jewish when you say it that way. If I'm the Lord your God, you won't be ripping off each other. Not because you aspire to be honest, but because you're mine. Not because you aspire not to kill each other, but because you're mine. A A real spiritual life goes deep, too deep to be taught. There's no system. There's no program. There's no spiritual life, kingdom of God. It's caught. It's something God does. It's not something we learn. Spiritual growth is not a kind of skill that we can acquire, like good handwriting or something. Dear friends, I'm not writing you a new command, but an old one, which you have heard since the beginning. This old command is a message that you have heard. What they did not hear is thou shalt. What they heard was, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt. What they heard and what this message is, this is the message you've heard from him and declared to you, God is light. And if you walk in the light as he is in the light, you'll have fellowship with who? Each other. If you obey what I command, this is what you'll do. You will love each other the way I have loved you. Because I am walking through you and you are walking through me. And the natural result of being connected in Christ is that you'll love each other the way I have loved you. Without even knowing it. I have yet to finish a day thinking, wow, I'm so glad I loved my neighbor the way you've loved me, God. And I don't get up in the morning thinking, hey, how can I mess the people around me? You live a natural, connected, walking in Christ. Ever found that even though we talk about grace, we got a great vocabulary of grace? How much of my time? And so I'm just going to read this sentence. I'm trying to forget what I've just told you right now. And just tell me what jumps out. We know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands. Reflect that back to me. What did you just hear? Obedience? What did you just hear? I love that, yes. And I wish I knew that 30 years ago. Because what I would hear is, if I obey his commands, I'll know him. You see, human nature responds to things like commands. Spiritual nature responds to words like know him. I wish that I would not have spent all those years spinning my wheels thinking that spirituality is a matter of personal discipline, self-denial, that's growth, trying to define my faith. And the hard part is you actually do fix some things along the way. You can discipline yourself enough to fix a couple things. You've got a 35-passenger bus and you got 16 that you can care for at that moment, or maybe 6, or maybe 2, or maybe 1. You might get some good study habits, some good stewardship habits. You do something, you know, for 6 weeks or more, it turns into a habit. Also turns into something that you've got to make sure it's still on the bus every week. This whole train of thought started when I had a couple visit a church of mine a long, long, long time ago, not here in Arizona. And as they were leaving, it was one of those churches where they kind of shake your hand on the way out. They kind of shook my hand. They kind of pulled my hand outside the door. And I knew, oh, this is bad. Because it started with, I'm sorry, but we just can't come here anymore. It only happened once, but boy, that was an eye-opener. We can't come to your church anymore. They had started visiting. It wears us out. This is not word for word what they said, but this is what they were saying. Said, we know, we never know if I'm saying the wrong thing or eating the wrong thing or drinking the wrong thing. We don't even know what to talk about with you guys anymore. We don't know what to invite you guys to. I think I might have been in a series on spiritual disciplines at the time, too, to make matters worse. Dear friends, I'm not writing you a new command, but an old one, which you have heard since the beginning. The old command is a message you have heard. But yet I'm writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in him and you, Because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. Where does that true light shine on? Us. If you walk in the light as he is in the light, you'll have fellowship with each other. So anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother has a problem. You're still walking in darkness. He doesn't tell you to turn around and start loving his brother. What does he say? You're walking in darkness, walk in the light. The natural result of walking in the light is you will love your brother. Yeah, love your brother. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother lives in the light. It's a simple question. What comes first, the love or the light? I would say the light comes first. They're so connected, it's hard to tell. It's chicken and egg. The way... I was at the ocean with my granddaughter, and we found a shell. Right on the shore, Jersey Shore. And not too many shells, a lot of weird things wash up on Jersey Shore. Occasionally you do get something that's actually living. And it was a shell. And I did the same thing my dad did to me. I picked up the shell and I put it on her ear and I said, hey, guess what? If you put the shell to the ear, what can you hear? You can hear the ocean. Remember that? You put a shell to your ear, you can hear the ocean. Guess what? We were at the ocean. You can put a bicycle pump to your ear and hear the ocean. Living through values, living through principles, it's like putting a shell up to your ear to hear the ocean when you're already living next to it. God just says, jump in. Give up on your values. Give up on your principles. I'm not talking about anarchy. Give up on your principles. Don't worry, God will give them back to you. But he'll give them back to you in such a way that you naturally live them out. You're not checklisting yourself. You're not seeing how many you can get on the bus right now. Don't get me wrong. How we live is vital. So vital that God said, I want to live it through you. Dear friends, I'm not writing you a new command, but an old one which you have heard since the beginning. It would have been perfect at that point for him to enumerate the commands. He just said, I'm writing you an old command. He said, you know what they are. Thou shalt not, thou shalt not. But he says, no, it's the message that you have heard from the beginning. Yet I'm writing you a new command. Because now its truth is seen in a person. It's seen in him. I think there's but a hair's breadth between command and gospel, the way John's writing this out. Maybe they do happen at the same time. I think they are facets of the same. My command is this: love each other the way I have loved you. The moment that you do that, guess what? There's not a command that would be a problem. I think for me, I don't know about few, but my mom had a strange theology about church. We went to church very seldom. The only time we went to church is when we messed up. I'm serious. We'd have a good week. Especially during the summer, you really notice it with summer vacation. Man, my brother and I, we had a good week, you know. Finally, a Sunday morning, if we were really together, we woke up, my brother and sister and myself woke up to pancakes and a day off on Sunday. But mess up, and I just knew it was coming Saturday afternoon. That's it. Tomorrow we're going to church. Choose church as a behavior modification center. Got to learn some values. Got to learn some principles. It's a wonder my brother and I both have become pastors. I don't know what that tells us about what's the stuff we're dealing with inside. Yeah. But I've come to realize, seriously, my brother, yeah, my mom takes credit for it, too. Told you. Brought you to church and you messed up. Churches are not behavior modification centers. They're birthing centers. They're cardio centers. Church is where the lifeblood of Christ beats and pumps life through each one of us. And it feels like water and it feels like wind. That's my phone. Oh, I had musical background for that one. But sometimes it's like I'm at the shore. I'm right at the shore. Waves are beating up and there's water everywhere. There's too much water. And too much of my life has been just picking up shells, trying to get a principle that I can live by, rather than have Christ live through me. Whoever loves his brother literally is living in the light. The command is very simple. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt. I am the Lord your God who saved you. I am Jesus Christ who has saved you. The moment that that registers, this is what you look like. And every value is a natural domino that just gets rewritten in our life. You okay with that? Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I pray that we will get rest from the stress, Father, of living out things that we know is right. I pray, Father, that you will give us rest, that you will live through us, and through that, we will live out what you know is right. Help us to ask the right question, not right or wrong, not up or down, but in you and pleasing to you. And I pray, Lord, this day we can live pleasing to you because you're living through us. This we lift up in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.